This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
2-0 to George Springer, the pitch. Broken bat, fly ball into shallow left field. On comes Duran. He's there to make the play. Ball game over. On a night that felt like October, the Red Sox take a huge step toward October. Big swings from Lowe and Narvaez, and a masterclass from the Red Sox bullpen. They beat the Blue Jays. The magic number, no matter what, at worst, is 4.
High noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. The number's 3. 3, Will.
3 is what it is.
3 is the number.
After, the late result, Houston losing to Oakland / Sacramento last night.
Thanks to the A's.
So the magic number down to 3 with Garrett Crochet on the hill. Big night. A relief of a night. I thought it was going to be a slog, and it started like a slog last night. 1-1 game, and even you were lucky it was 1-1 the way Giolito started, whatever it was, the third or the fourth, where he had first and third and nobody out. You're lucky it was only 1-1 at that point. And I was thinking midway through the game, Keith, I'm like, these are 6 days from hell.
Yeah.
These are going to be miserable, intense. Like, if you get to the other side and you win a game, it's rewarding, but like they're not a fun watch while you're watching them down the stretch. This is what playoff baseball is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And then Red Sox break through with a few runs, the big hit from Narvaez, bullpen locks it down. And then on top of it, the Astros lose last night. It actually wound up being a pretty pain-free night, which is nice.
It was a great night, and it sort of gives you like a big kind of head start for the rest of the week. It's so last night, too, it's 1-1 going into the sixth inning. Houston is still a few hours from even playing. And then you're looking at Detroit-Cleveland, you're like, all right, well, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. So it's like good, bad,
I guess, whatever. But it was 2-0 with Skubal on the hill.
Like,
okay, well, that's pretty good. You'd rather Detroit win that game, we thought. And then all of a sudden, it's 5-2. And I'm like, what the hell happened over there?
Yeah.
I didn't realize Skubal was imploding and hitting guys in the face. I didn't realize that in real time.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's a 1-1 game, and the Red Sox feel like you're fighting for your lives.
Yeah, no, but the results really did go their way, I would say. And having the magic number of 3, specifically with Houston, and the Garrett Crochet on the mound tonight, you're in a good spot. Because the way they were lining up the rotation, and if it came all the way down to the very end, you're like, man, wouldn't they rather have Crochet twice than Giolito twice? But they might be able to get everything that they want, where Crochet goes tonight, hopefully you get a win. You lock it up maybe even before the series with Detroit. Like, that first game with Detroit could easily be, you could eliminate the Tigers depending on how things go the next couple of nights.
Correct.
But then you might be able to get Crochet with that extra day of rest for game one of the wild card against the team, which is also to be determined because there's so much still in play this final week of the regular season.
It could be any one of a million teams.
Yes.
But I'd say right now it's looking like you'll be the second wild card today. This could change tomorrow.
Yep.
But right now, you're the second wild card, likely playing Toronto or New York. The Yankees are only a game back of the Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah, they're right there. The Yankees have won 3 in a row. You're obviously facing the Blue Jays. So depending on how quickly you clinch your spot, that'll determine whether the Blue Jays go from being in first place for months, just like the Tigers, and then all of a sudden, they could be out of the spot. Toronto can't miss the playoffs, but they could easily not win the division.
Yeah, they could still fall to the third wild card for all. They could really start. Well, that's probably too strong, actually. But they could definitely fall out of winning the division. Text line says, I feel like if we win tonight, we're in. It's not official.
I agree.
But if you win, all you need is a Crochet win tonight. Magic number with Houston is down to 2, independent of what Houston, even if Houston wins tonight, magic number is down to 2, and that means you need a win and an Astros loss, or 2 wins, 2 Astros losses, however it adds up, over the final 4 games of the year. Like, a win tonight really does feel like
massive.
They're in. Houston's- and you just said it, with Crochet lined up for the first game of the wild card, which then your mind really starts to wonder. You go, okay, the format favors a team like the Red Sox that does pitch well. Although Giolito wasn't great last night, and he and Bayo have come down to earth a little bit. But it does really fit. You have an ace starting off the wild card round, and then you just need to win one of those other two. Like, you can really start to get ahead of yourself if you take care of business tonight with arguably, maybe not the smartest bet, but arguably the best pitcher in the AL on the mound.
Yeah, Detroit's lost 7 straight games, and the Astros have lost 4 straight games.
Toronto's lost like 6 out of 7.
They're falling apart too. So it's like the Red Sox aren't exactly, you know, going into the playoffs on a high note. You know, they've been .500 over the last 10 games. They're kind of like treading water as it is. But teams around them are falling apart. So all they have to do, we said yesterday, what do they need to do with the final 6 games? We both guessed, yeah, you go 3-3 and you're in. All right, you win that first one. But now, based on everybody else, it might only need to go 1-4. I mean, if they win 2 more games, it feels like you're in great shape, because it doesn't feel like at this point Houston or Detroit are going to win out. And obviously, Cleveland and Detroit can't win out because they have 2 more games
to play
against
each other. Just to correct the record, Toronto's dropped 5 out of 6, so they're not playing well either. Uh-huh. And them and Detroit have been like the 2 best teams in the AL all year. Detroit might miss entirely, and Toronto may lose the division. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, that's just a whole different look at this team. So you guys can discuss 617-779-7937. We got some baseball talk here. We will get to the Patriots later on this hour, an update on Christian Gonzalez, which we want to circle back to. Mike Vrabel also scheduled to speak less than an hour from now. So keep it locked here on Jones and Keefe. You'll hear the head coach of the New England Patriots. And a reminder, football talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game every Sunday, all season long, by visiting ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So we'll get back to the Pats coming up. What jumped out to you about last night's win? Because I think there were a lot of interesting things to dig into.
Yeah, so it was a grind of a game, obviously. And then once you got into the bullpen, you did feel a little bit more confident once they were able to take the lead. But so what jumped out to me was Nathaniel Lowe and how this guy kind of literally out of nowhere. You didn't have him at the start of the season. He wasn't like a big trade deadline deal. He wasn't involved in like the Devers deal. He was like a late add-on to the team. It's been a bit of a musical first base for much of the season, like who's over there, who's performing, who's doing what. And for him to come through with 2 big hits, drives in 2 runs on a night where the offense really wasn't doing much at all, it just got me thinking to so many different guys who you don't expect and you don't think you can like rely on, and they come through in big moments. And that's one of the fun things about the baseball playoffs, is there can be the number 7 hitter who is just like hot as a pistol, or a guy that just joined a team late and kind of carries them for a little bit. You know, you go back to the last time they won it, we remember like the big marquee names, but then you have other guys like Nathan Eovaldi and Steve Pierce showing up and being huge for those teams. And you wonder now, you're like, all right, you're running out of time in the regular season. This guy's been good since he got here. And then you throw him in the playoffs. You're like, Nathaniel Lowe, and I never in a million years would have thought he might win you a game in the playoffs, because he won you a game this week, or it was a big part of the reason why you won a game this week, and he wasn't even on the team a couple months ago.
Sounds like you're turning Brez Pro over there.
Listen, add it to the good pile.
285 with an OPS over 800 in less than 30 games so
far. He did also turn Devers into Jordan Hicks and Dustin May.
Yeah, but
pretty much.
Lovon's basically Devers right now.
He did get Lovon. So that
I did
is...
see before the trade deadline, Jim Bowden was like, if the Red Sox want Nathaniel Lowe, they're going to have to give him Peyton Tolley.
Good call by Ralph, as always. You mentioned Pierce and Eovaldi. I think we now look back at Eovaldi a little differently because we know what he turned it. But at the time, Eovaldi was like an out-of-nowhere big-time playoff performer. So I think that's a good one. There's more to dig into, but our pal Matt in Rhode Island has been on and off the line all day long wanting to talk about Lovon.
Oh,
so let's go to him. What's up, Matt?
Yo, what's up, guys? Yeah, Nate Lowe in Tampa. His brother's on Tampa. His parents went from Orlando. Yeah, tough series. His mom is, I heard this on Will Fleming, said his mom is battling really bad with cancer, so that might have played into it, but big last night. You saw George Springer, the line drive down the third baseline, they called foul. That looks like it might have been fair. That was a huge break, but we're looking tonight and how Crochet has obviously been awesome, but you know he's gotten hit a little bit, so playoff atmosphere tonight in Toronto. We'll see how Crochet does. Thanks.
Okay, Matt, good stuff. I was fact-checking him. He's Josh Lowe is his brother on Tampa. I was thinking of Brendan Lowe. I'm like, I know those two aren't related.
They have a Lowe and a Lowe. It's maddening.
I was getting them confused. I don't know why he was scuffling earlier this year, or why he was going through any struggles, and it's weird that he was available in the first place.
To be available for nothing was pretty crazy.
But it was a good acquisition to this team who needs a bat, and that's acknowledging, by the way, he was horrible in those games in Tampa. Maybe that did have something to
but
do
with it. But there is one. So he mentions Garrett Crochet tonight and sort of what he's done the last couple of starts. We were arguing earlier, not arguing, but we were kind of going through the numbers between he and Scooble. Scooble's still the Vegas overwhelming favorite to be the AL Cy Young winner.
It was a slight favorite at -20,000, is what Nick informed us of earlier.
So
today,
if you have 20,000 lying around and you want to win $100, maybe put it on Scooble, I guess, right now.
Yeah, sure.
But this has been Crochet's worst month this season. Like, he's in the middle of this will be his fifth start in the month of September. He has a 4.68 ERA. Which is like not even average. Like, yeah, prior to that, the guy was insane, and I think we both were making the case that he should be the Cy Young winner, even though you know Scooble's ERA is slightly better, but like you know more innings, more strikeouts for more wins. If you want to add that as like maybe a tiebreaker, like all that with Crochet. But this month he hasn't been great. The last two starts, he's given up two home runs in each of them. He had the other start. Remember that inning? That was the inning against Cleveland. Where I was like, he just lost the Cy Young. He gave up four home runs in a game.
Yeah, maybe we should have. Now looking back, we know that's Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland's like never going to lose again.
It's like a magical team. But
true.
Yeah, you're right. All time we're Cleveland. Like, there goes the Cy Young.
Yeah.
Flush it.
But his last four starts, it's been against Cleveland, the A's, the Yankees, and the Rays. And he was awesome in the game against the A's. He went 7 scoreless. The other three, pretty pedestrian. I mean, one bad one, and then two that were 6 innings, 3 earned runs. Which, yeah, it's technically a quality start, but it's also a 4.5 ERA in those games.
No, it's true. So, look, I feel like if he's got a lot of rest going into some of these games, and he certainly will if he got it lined up for the playoffs, he should be good. But maybe I'm just ignoring that there's some fatigue or whatever it is in the month of September. We see with Chris Sale, they're built very differently.
Right.
But, you know, same idea. He has never pitched this deep into a season, so maybe it's catching up to him. And I guess we'll see with that. But you get a win out of him tonight, all of a sudden you're really, really knocking on the door for getting in. And what seemed like a nightmare of a week, it's happened, but all of a sudden it's looking easier and easier based on some of the results last night. Things I like, Keith, and I agree with you on Nate Lowe last night, Lovon. I like some of the resiliency that they showed, you know, early on. Literally, like,
yeah.
Giolito gets out there, bottom of the first, and Story has a throwing error.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a great play late in the game, but that wasn't his only defensive miscue last night. He also dropped the ball at second base to the point where I was wondering if he was throwing the game. So
I was going to say, like, how I felt about Story and Bregman defensively a month ago is not how I feel about him now.
Completely fair. Yeah. But so, like, Red Sox go 1-2-3. Giolito starts off the game getting a grounder to short, and the leadoff guy's on first, and you're like, well, here we go. And Giolito settles right in. He overcame the other miscue by Story. The real one that I think was important for the Red Sox, and maybe even give Giolito some credit, as I said earlier, for pitching around the jam he was in the fourth. First and third, nobody out. To get out of that with only the one run, maybe is a minor one there too. But the real one was the sixth inning. Red Sox could have, maybe should have had the bases loaded with one out. Rafaela was hung up in a rundown. They challenged the play at third base. Bang, bang, play. The call on the field was he was out. I thought it was really hard to overturn. I didn't think there was anything clear to overturn it, but you could have got it overturned. It could have been bases loaded, nobody out. One out. And instead, it's first and second with two outs, and you're like, all right, they got one run to make it 2-1. That didn't feel like that was enough to hold up. And Narvaez hit what I thought was a pop-up to right field that just kept carrying.
They needed that. Yep.
They get two more runs, and all of a sudden, instead of it being 2-1 and you're white-knuckling the game, it felt like you could breathe, and it was 4-1. I think just that sequence of events where it's a bang-bang play at third that doesn't go your way, it'd be easy to pack it in, and they didn't. I thought that was promising. Mm-hmm. I also thought the way the bullpen pitch was spectacular.
Oh, it was great. And if you can rely on you know, I know Chapman had his hiccups, you know, going back a week or so ago, but Whitlock and Chapman are as good as there is in baseball. And then you're like, well, if Slayton gives you what he can, is capable of giving you, now you're talking about that's at least three innings of work. And if you want to stretch any of those guys on a given day, maybe you can. All right, you know, can the starters go 5 or 6 in the playoffs? And that is always a big question for every team. You see studs go all the time, get yanked real early. Like Cy Young winners, Cy Young candidates start, and teams are so quick with the hook come playoff time.
I mean, the famous one was pulling Snell with a no-hitter.
I mean, Snell was going to win the World Series, and they're like, too many times through the rotation, so we got to, or through the lineup, so we got to take them out. But no, that has been a strength of the team, you know, for the most of the year.
So Red Sox relievers last night got 13 outs, no hits. One base runner was the first guy Wilson faced. But clean inning from Whitlock with a couple of punch outs, clean inning from Slayton, clean inning from Chapman. And so that's what you want to see come this time of year. You're right about that. 617-779-7937. We'll get to the robot umpires coming up in just a moment. But Brian in Connecticut has been waiting patiently on our Patriots talk. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey there, my name's Brian. I had a question on Drake May that just before he threw the interception in the end zone, he got knocked to the ground hard. His helmet whipped back and smacked the ground, and he put his hands on both sides of his head. Mm-hmm. And my immediate thought was, they got spotters for this. That's percussion, the concussion protocols going into effect. But nothing there.
Yeah, I thought they should have flagged it. And May talked about this, and we talked about it on Monday.
Yep.
But yes, two plays after he slammed his head to the turf, he threw a pick. Maybe he was a little foggy there. I wouldn't rule that out.
100%. And so it's one of those things where you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, because like as a football player, you're like, all right, you got to be tough. You got to get back up there. Drake May even said that. He's like, hey, you know, you need to get up quick. Or like they are going to spike. Like he basically
exactly
called that
said.
Out. He did.
He's like, I learned my rookie year. If you don't get right up, they're going to flag that.
But
and
if
so
you
he got
me,
right up.
But if you ask me, like, was he 100% when he threw that interception? No chance. He was definitely still feeling the effects of that. And so now you have to go to that next level where can you still make great plays even when you're a little bit foggy. You know, can you pull a Julian Edelman and get like knocked out and come back in and make an unbelievable play?
Nick, you were telling us what did Edelman say?
Edelman and Amendola
were on the podcast on their podcast talking to each other about how on punt returns, if either one of them was out there, the other one would have run out, pick him up, and tell him what time it was and like who was present or whatever. It's like a pass.
Yeah, whatever like test. The baseline test was, they would like fill like remind him right away in case they did get flagged and they had answered so they get back on the field.
And
so
it was like, hey, if you feeling something,
it's honestly
like
awful and hilarious all at the same time.
It's like shaking your elbow just so you're like, oh, my elbow's hurting on my head.
Yeah, my elbow hurts.
So they would, because they knew, hey, you're getting knocked out, we know how to pass a concussion check real quick. They would run to each other and give each other like the answers real quick. Because you're blacked out or whatever.
Right.
Lying there on the field and they wake up and he's screaming in your face, Joe Biden!
So
and you're like, what? What? Huh?
My concern would be that now that Drake May said that publicly, he's probably going to get flagged more now.
Yeah, like the next time he smacks his head off the turf, they're like, keep an eye on this guy. Maybe. Yeah.
And then, like, even if he does,
he's a little too honest.
That's what I wonder. I think that might be something, like, you know, to look for even this Sunday. Like, if something happens to him, he's slow to get up, or is he going to be popping in the blue tent?
617-779-7937. Again, we'll get back to the Pats later on this hour. You have Mike Vrabel live right around 1 o'clock. You'll catch it here on WEEI during Jones and Keefe. Coming up at 2:30, the manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora. You can tune in on the Odyssey app to check that out. Maybe they'll ask him, Keith, about the robot uprising. All hail again, our robot overlords. The robot umps are officially here next year in baseball. We have thoughts on it right after Trending with Billy Laney.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at choosePrimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
You said Alien Earth is done?
Yeah, 8 episodes.
So I don't know if they're doing more seasons.
There's
they might.
Not another like song to look forward to.
Sadly, no.
Okay.
And we had recently tried guessing the song. So Davey and I on the podcast, because they were so good. It was just heater after heater.
Were you close? Were you in the ballpark?
I mean, we're always in the ballpark, I would say, because they're pretty much of a certain genre.
Sure.
But I thought they might play Mud Shovel by Stained, which would have been a sick closeout, or Black and White by Static X. They didn't.
You're watching the show, Nick, or no?
No, I'll
he's gonna
get to it.
Right.
You're thinking about it.
No, I'm not. I'm thinking. I'm definitely thinking about it. It's just that it's over an hour and there's commercials in it.
Oh,
it's a commitment.
Yeah, it's commercials on Hulu, unless you have the non-commercials, but I have the commercials. Yeah, I do.
And then nice.
You're like, basically, it's like you watch it for 20 minutes, then you look at your phone for a minute, then you watch it for another 20 minutes, you look at your phone for a minute. That's just kind of how that goes.
That's tough.
It's hard to binge watch
a show
with the commercials.
Do some fantasy.
Back on the thing, pickups, waiver wire, back on the show, put the phone down.
Back to your fantasy football team.
Show's been on for 5 minutes. I'm still scrolling to my phone. I missed 5 minutes of the show. I huck the phone in the other room.
You drop somebody by accident.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a disaster.
We'll get back to the Patriots. The Christian Gonzalez situation feeling like a little bit of a disaster. We'll do that. Plus, Mike Vrabel scheduled to speak right around.
It's been a disaster.
It has been. Plus, right around 1 o'clock, you hear from Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots, live here on WEEI. We got news yesterday, Keith, that wasn't totally off the radar, but it hadn't been official. Robot umps are here.
Yes.
I know the text line's upset we are calling them robot umps.
There will be humans at least next year. Eventually, they'll phase those out.
This is the first step.
Because think about this, texter and anybody else that is saying that, hey, guys, you don't know what you're talking about. At one point, it was
mostly
humans.
The texters, but yeah.
The texters.
Yeah.
The humans used to ump the entire game by themselves.
Yep.
They had nobody else to turn to but other humans. First base umpire human, second base umpire human, third base. So then every once in a while they'd huddle up, be like, hey, did you get a good look at it? And they're
yeah,
I didn't think so.
Hey, Bob.
Foul or fair? I don't know.
That one, yeah.
It was close.
Like, hey, did that
it
kid.
It was close?
Did that kid. What about the kid in Yankee Stadium? Did he lean forward and rob a home run?
Yeah.
Yeah, or give him a home run? Did that over Tony Tarasco's head? Did that ever happen? Yeah, replay would have figured that out.
Jeffrey
so now.
Jeffrey Mayer.
Jeffrey Mayer.
Yeah.
I know.
Also,
so now,
also human.
Yeah, another human. Yeah. So humans ruining the game.
Uh-huh.
A good example of several humans ruining the game.
Yeah.
Then, years later, they started to add some replay to it. Not all just humans anymore, right? Like, you're getting the technology. You're getting to look at the replay, watch the play over and over and over again. And now, you can challenge balls and strikes, which they always said wouldn't happen. Because they're like, well, that's the one thing. Got to keep the human element. Why? Why would you have to keep the human element when the human element's wrong so many times? Let's get the calls right.
Well,
get them right.
They kind of are getting them right.
Thanks to the robots.
Well, a little bit to the robots.
It should be just robots out there. We have the technology. We've all seen the clips from MIT. They could do it.
They could do it.
Yeah.
You think we're quickly heading towards that, just all robots out there.
Don't you think we'll see
do you
a
want
game?
Actual play? Do you want actual human beings playing the game, or do you want those to be robots too?
Right now, I'm still humans. But I could be swayed.
That could be pretty sweet. Honestly, that might
all
not robot be bad.
League?
Yeah.
I could be talked into that pretty easily. Yeah.
All right, good. Let's
see how the Red Sox do the rest of this week, and then I might want robots.
You don't have to worry about babying these pitchers anymore.
It's true.
You just go squirt some oil on them. Next thing you know, they're back out there.
You have to charge them.
Yeah.
Oh,
good point.
You do have to charge them.
Yeah, you get to charge those robots. But Passan had the tweet yesterday. MLB is going to implement a challenge system for balls and strikes in 2026 next year.
Uh-huh.
After the league's competition committee voted, not unanimously, by the way,
well, to usher in the era of robot umpiring.
Go yell at Jeff Passan.
Yeah, yell at Passan.
Text line.
Oh, Passan will yell right back. He's feisty out there.
He is a feisty little guy. Yeah. Teams will receive two challenges to dispute calls by the home plate umpire. If you get those challenges right, you get more. If you go to extra innings, you get more than that. Not to get bogged down in all those details, but you are in favor of the robot uprising, Keith.
Of course I am. Yeah, get the calls right. And as long as it's quick. We talked about this a little bit earlier, and that is quick. They can do, hey, you know, is that a strike or a ball? They did it in the All-Star game, right? That was sort of, here, let's show everybody in, you know, mainstream. Let's show what this looks like. Yes, there are still human umps behind there.
They did it in select games in spring, yeah, too. So, I mean, we...
So if there's a bad call, and you're like...
it, and it's fast.
Yep. And then the hitter, the catcher, the pitcher, whatever, you go for quickly, and then you move on. Get the call right. Because there are some times where it's so egregious where you're like, all right. You know, every ump has like a little bit of a different strike zone, what they call, what they don't. But yeah, there are some times where it's just so over that you're like, come on.
Like last night, who was up at the plate before Rafaela bounced out? And it was 3-0, and all of a sudden the pitch was outside. Like, I'd be a good one to challenge there.
I thought you were talking about the Springer one after he... It very clearly hit a fair ball and then got called out on a pitch very outside.
Oh, but this is balls and strikes.
Yeah, no. It was the pitch Giglio threw after the struck Springer out wasn't even close to a strike.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the fair foul. Yes. Yeah. But no, so the way this works is there's three people who can challenge it. The hitter, the pitcher, the catcher. They're very different with minimal research on this, minimal data on this. But they're very different in how successful they are with the challenges.
I'm not surprised.
And no, I look, it's quick, which is important, Keith. And the best analogy is tennis, the Hawkeye system in tennis. They go to the big screen. You go see where the pitch was. It's very black and white. It was a strike. It was not a strike. And then we're all back to our lives. Nobody's arguing about it. It's cut and dry. There's only two of them in theory for a game, although that could really start to snowball. But no, I think that's the most important factor. So again, this was not unanimous. Four players who were on the committee opposed it, but it wound up going through. It'll be in full effect next year. I thought Jeff Passan had a lot of good numbers on this. We read you some of these earlier today. But according to Major League Baseball, the challenges were right 52% of the time, 52.2.
All right, so to be exact. They're more right than wrong.
Than wrong, although umpires on balls and strikes get 94% of pitches correct.
Hmm.
Which is
6% wrong.
One out of every 20 pitches they're getting wrong. And as you said earlier,
yeah,
not everyone is a decision.
Right.
A foul ball is just a strike. A swing and a miss is just a strike. There's not much thinking there.
So a lot of, And so a lot of pitchers, they throw 100 pitches and there are a lot of them, they're, you know, swing and miss or foul balls or, you know, balls put in play or whatever. But for those other ones, like they're getting six of those wrong and like they could be big decisions that go the other way, but a walk and a strikeout.
That's not a great number. I acknowledge that's not a great number, but it's way better than any of these other people.
True, true.
So catchers had the most. So the overall success rate was 52.2%. Catchers were right on challenges 56% of the time, overturning a call.
I would probably trust the catcher the most, especially if it's somebody that, as a manager, like you believe in, because the pitcher's going to think everything's a strike. The hitter's going to think everything's a ball, right? Like otherwise, I would have swung at it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the catcher's like, no, like I and then you also get a sense of what the zone is.
Hitters were 50-50. Pitchers were right 41% of the time.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. So that's going to be an interesting strategy, too, is for Cora and every manager next year to sort of be like, all right, when are we going to do this? We can't just challenge every single play. So, like, how egregious? And
well,
I
would
think some guys you trust more than others.
I think the Red Sox are pretty judicious in their challenges. I thought they were going to win the Rafaela challenge last night. I know it's not balls and strikes, but I thought they were going to win that because I think they really do pick their spots.
Yeah.
Like, there's tons of times where I'm like, Cora, would you challenge it? Mm-hmm. And they wave it off and they hardly ever challenge. So I thought they were going to win the one at third just because I feel like the only time they challenge, they're pretty egregious. And right, so do you just say as a manager, you're like, the only guy challenging these is the catcher. You could challenge it as a hitter, we're not. You could challenge it as a pitcher, we're not. Or we'll give you some sort of sign from the dugout to do it. Or we'll yell at you or something, but...
I think it might be case by case, because I'm sure, like, remember Paul O'Neill for the Yankees?
Yeah.
I'm sure every time he struck out Lucky, he would be like, challenge it!
Yeah.
And they'd be like, it's a strike. We can't challenge it every single time.
Paul, we're out of challenges. Yeah. It's the bottom of the second.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think some players would just assume every call against them is the wrong call, so you're like, you can't really trust those guys every time, but they'll figure it out. I think they'll get to the point where they know who to trust and not.
Okay, robot umps are here. Jed, how do you feel about it?
Well, I'm for the robot umps, but I was thinking
if they get rid of the umpires on the field, it's going to look a little empty out there, right? So you know the robots they got in the supermarket there, the big tall monolith with the googly eyes?
Marty at Stop and
Shop? Four of those.
We get 4 to 5 Martys out there. I think it would really, people might enjoy that. And the googly eyes will probably get a better look than the umps nowadays.
I love it.
Although the googly eyes on statues and things, got many key for Mad Night, the googly eyes, those will get you in trouble.
It can go a little crazy. Yes. But yeah, I think you can still put like physical forms out there. They just don't have to be humans. I mean,
I don't see Marty really getting into the strikeout call.
No, that'd be a little reserved.
He's kind of standing there with his hands kind of flopping.
Yeah, but
you can
do anything. You can
really
program
him
any way you want.
He said specifically get the ones from the supermarket. I'm just saying, I don't know.
I think each home field should have their own little twist on it. So like maybe at Fenway Park has the Martys, but then other places have.
Put the Wally hat on him. Maybe then he's a little too biased.
Yeah, you couldn't do Wally.
Now, if it's Wally, we have like a whole conflict of interest thing going on.
That wouldn't be fair.
You're
not going to understand.
What a stupid idea. You're right. Yeah. That's a stupid idea. 617-779-7937. More of your feedback coming up. Let's get to Christian Gonzalez. Did he have a setback? Did he not have a setback? It feels like an important detail that we have more info on next.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I've dug around on this the last couple of weeks, and like what I found is there wasn't a setback, which I think almost makes it worse. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's almost like, all right, like, so we expect, and I know their full expectation when he got hurt at the end of July was that he was going to be ready for week 1. But even more recently, like, they could have put him on IR before week 1, right? Like, I'm talking about the week of week 1, they could have put him on IR and shelved him for the first 4 weeks. If he misses this game, now we're at 4 weeks, which means he's not just behind schedule for where they thought he would be in July, he's behind schedule for where they thought he would be at the beginning of September. So there are some moving parts here. I don't think there's a ton of ill will. I do think there's frustration. And I do think that there's a piece of this, which, I mean, look, like, the more... I think there's a natural piece to this that comes in the NFL when a player is on the edge of becoming very, very wealthy, where there are natural questions that come up. Are you being careful? Are we being careful?
So Breer on Early Edition last night brings up the contract, I think. I think that's where he's going with that.
Yeah, players got to be very wealthy soon. That would be contract related.
We got to be smart about it. So Breer brings that up.
Or
and
play.
He also says, oh, by the way, I did some digging. There was no setback with Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah, that would put people, if you're going back and forth and you want them to all be literally on the same team here and everybody should be working in the same direction. But once you get a player that's not playing and you're trying to speculate as to why is he not out there, if you hear he has a setback, you're like, all right. Well, it's not a contract thing. It's a setback thing. Hamstrings are tricky, and let's see what happens. And, you know, there's no real side to take there. And if anything, you sort of defend the player. But then if it's no setback, you're like, all right, so it's a 8-week hamstring injury?
That was reported to be 3 or 4 weeks and back for week 1?
Yeah, because we were there at training camp practice, Bragg, when he got hurt, and we're like, oh, that's not great, but at least it's early enough in camp where – just rehab it and do whatever you can, and then we'll likely see you week one. Okay, you can't play week one. Not the end of the world. You'll be there week two, though, right, when Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. No, you're not out there week two?
Nah. Well, he's going to practice all week, week three. He'll probably against Pittsburgh.
No, he didn't play against Pittsburgh. So you could have just been on IR and missed four games and freed up a roster spot for your team. So if he plays this Sunday, you at least have the, all right, like he didn't go on IR, but you got an extra game out of him. Because if you put him on IR, you're forced to sit him out for four games.
And when you're on IR, you also can't practice, right? So in theory, he could get 2 weeks of practice under his belt and come back week five for Buffalo.
Yeah,
which is what, again, Curran told us a couple of weeks ago. He's like, I don't know, guys. I have Buffalo circled, just kind of out of nowhere.
Mm.
I should have stuck with that.
Yeah.
But he started practicing, and it threw me off the scent last week. So here's what I think is going on. Giardi on WEEI Afternoons a couple of weeks ago said there was a setback. It was right around Minnesota. He said that very definitively. I think Mike is a plugged-in guy. And so I don't think he's making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he got bad information. I don't know, but I believe him. I also believe Breer, who I think is plugged in. So now let's square those two away. How is Giardi saying there was a setback and Breer going, well, you know what? I dug in and there actually isn't a setback.
Well, sounds like one's from the players' camp, one's from the team's camp.
Bingo. Which means they're not on the same page. Which I think we probably
that's clear.
We probably could have surmised anyway. I agree with that. But to me, the conflicting reports tell us just that. Gonzo's camp is letting people know, yeah, he tweaked something. There was a setback right around Minnesota. We even know when they claim it was. And Breer, maybe doing due diligence, circle back and check with the team. And they're like, yeah, there was no setback. He's fine.
Does this also explain a little bit Christian Gonzalez's very brief back and forth with the media, where he's not certainly a man of many words?
No.
However, he wasn't going to talk about any of it. And it's almost like, well, I don't want to lie and say that there was a setback because there wasn't. But I'm also not going to like, I don't want to really get into it because
maybe they coached him up on that. That sounded like he was coached up. Like, guys,
setbacks along the route.
I'm not speaking on that.
That
sounds like he's not allowed to speak on that, which maybe means he was coached up. And Vrabel or whomever said, hey, Christian, you're going to be made available to the media. In fact, I'm going to tell the media.
Yeah.
And this is why we play Vrabel every week. You'll hear him coming up about 10 minutes from now. I'm going to tell the media, go talk to Christian. He's in the locker room. Go talk to him.
Yeah.
And then when they talk to you, don't talk about the injury, because Vrabel knows and Gonzalez knows we're not on the same page. Let's at least present as being on the same page. Let's not air all our dirty laundry. Let's keep it in-house, and we'll continue to massage this situation. And I now think that's where we're at. And Breer's right about this. You and I have been talking about this for weeks. I haven't heard it a lot of other places, but I think it's obvious, and I'm surprised more people haven't connected the dots and talked about it. If he's not back this week, they should have put him on IR.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you the team. We can question whether or not Jordan Schultz had the report correctly originally, right? He's going to be back week one. No big deal. I still believe that report, but even if you don't, we now know the team didn't think it was a four-week injury, because if they did, they would have put him back on IR.
Clearly.
He's back and he's practicing, so if he doesn't play this week, we should all have our antenna go way up. Is it a contract issue? Is Gonzalez pissed at the medical staff, and or is the team pissed at him? Something like that.
Yeah, it is a strange tale, and that there's no for sure answer on any of this, right? Because if one report said there's a setback, one was saying that there isn't, you got to decide which one you want to believe. Vrabel's the one that first introduced the idea of even the contract being involved. Maybe Gonzalez is getting some bad advice, whatever it might be. I just think long term, it's not ideal for Gonzalez's side, because now not only does he have to go out there and play like he's a top five corner, which hopefully he does for everybody's sake, but then at the end, when you're talking about handing out one of the biggest contracts in team history, it's not just on the field anymore. Like, you have to factor in everything. Like, can we trust this guy? Is he someone that's going to play hard? Was he just kind of like holding out until he got the money, but now we can trust him to go like 100% all the time? Or is he going to be like, good, I got my money? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Just like a lot of doubt would start to creep in on whether the guy's worth the money or not.
And I think that's totally fair. And I can see Gonzalez being frustrated with them. Maybe he's frustrated with the medical staff. He felt like
they
pushed him, or the coaching staff pushed him to be out there when he felt he wasn't ready. I could also see him being like, guys, like, you can fill in the gaps on what's going on. Like, there's no information out there. Like, if you fill in, you're making me look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see lots of ways he's frustrated with them. I can also see lots of ways that Vrabel's frustrated with him. Get your ass out there, number one. Vrabel was a player. Get your ass out. It's a hamstring. It's 8 weeks. Get your ass out there.
The other part.
And I think the more the losses pile up and the defense sucks, the more agitated Vrabel's going to be. You're 0-0.
Yeah.
You haven't played a game yet. It's a little easier to not be frustrated and agitated with Gonzalez. The losses start piling up. The defense sucks and gets shredded by mediocre and or old, in the case of Aaron Rodgers' quarterbacks. He's going to get a little more frustrated.
The other Keefspiracy on this would be he knows he needs to have like an all-pro season to really get Sauce Gardner plus money.
Yep.
And he feels like, I need to be 110% to get back. Like, it's not even like a, hey, I'm good enough to play. It's like, I need to be beyond that to even play, because I don't want to get torched on a touchdown and have you hold it against me.
I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not coming back at 90, 95, 99%. I'm not coming back until I am 100%. Yeah.
Like, maybe if it was, you know, you're already under contract, or like if it was a playoff game or whatever, like you're good to go. Yeah, I'm good to go. All right, get out there against Tyreek Hill. And then all it takes is like one bad play against Tyreek Hill, one bad play against DK Metcalf, and you're like, I'm trying to do this for the team, but now you're going to hold that, you know, that touchdown against me or whatever.
Good text here at 617-779-7937. Maybe Andy Hart can do his three-point stance on trading Christian Gonzalez for Patrick Surtain today.
It's possible, yeah.
You'll have to stay tuned for the three-point
stance. That would be like trading Alex Austin for Patrick Surtain.
That's true.
A good point.
Yeah.
Who says no? Who was he trading yesterday? Ramondre or Travion for?
It was originally Ramondre and then Travion.
Was it both?
Yeah.
For Derrick Henry.
Package deal? Trade the whole Cerberus backfield for Derrick Henry.
Get the whole Cerberus, we get Derrick Henry.
King Henry.
Okay, well, you have to stay tuned to WEEI Afternoons to get that. Alex Cora will be with them at 2:30. And the head coach of the New England Patriots, Mike Vrabel. You'll hear from him live next.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.